So what happened to the polls? Nate Silver's vaunted 538 put Hillary Clinton's chances of winning at 70%. And she did win the popular vote by 200,000 votes and counting. But Republican strategist Mike Murphy tweeted on Tuesday, "I've believed in data for 30 years. Tonight, data died." Did it? Our next guest says maybe it was misinterpreted. Whit Ayers is a GOP pollster and president of North Star Opinion Research. Marco Rubio's just one of his clients. And Whit, you're thinking about how incumbents poll. Tell us about that.
There is a well-established principle in polling with incumbents running for re-election that what you see is what you get. In other words, if you're at 48 as an incumbent and your opponent is 45, we will frequently tell our incumbent candidates that they're in trouble if they are below 50 and if they are at 48% and the opponent is at 45. The reason is that frequently incumbents get the number at the polls that they have on the final survey.
Theirs isn't going to get that much better, but their opponents might.
Their opponents are generally not saddled with the image of incumbency, and so frequently undecided voters go disproportionately to the challenger. And the issue here is whether or not Hillary Clinton was, if not technically an incumbent, effectively an incumbent, running for the third term of Barack Obama. And let's just take a look at a few of the numbers here. The national polling averages had Clinton at about 46%. At the end, she ended up with 48%. In Arizona, the poll was 45. She got 45. In Florida, the poll was 47. She got 48. In Ohio, the poll was 43. She got 44. And in Wisconsin, the poll was 46. She got 47. It seems like more than a coincidence that the number she had in the average of polls at the end of the race is remarkably similar to where she ended up on the final ballot.
However,
but Trump made substantial gains, as frequently challengers do.
Well, now talk about that. Couple things. First of all, we're understanding people didn't understand the margin of error. There was a headline in the New York Times last month that said, when you hear the margin of error is plus or minus three, it's really seven. In other words, it could be 7 or 8 points difference, and that's still razor tight. But also, we're hearing over and over again now that especially in this anti-politics as usual electorate, a lot of people did not tell the truth. I mean, people are out and out telling reporters, I lied. I don't like pollsters. I don't like Washington. I lied. Do you think that was a factor?
Robin, if that were a factor, our own polls wouldn't have been as accurate as they were.
You mean North Star?
Yeah, at North Star. And a lot of our competitors will be able to demonstrate to you as well that their polls were very accurate. I don't believe that there is a consistent pattern of lying, but I do believe that many of us, and I include myself in this, interpreted the polls at the end as leading to a Clinton victory, which she did get in the popular vote, but she did not get in the Electoral College. Trump put the pieces together the right way in terms of the map. He didn't necessarily win more white voters, but he won the right white voters, and that allowed him to win numerous large states by one percentage point. Yeah. Florida, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin.
And just to remind ourselves, that's what the Electoral College is all about. It's not about getting the most votes, the popular vote. It's about making sure that you get votes that represent the entire country, across the country. And so he did snag votes in those areas that got him the electoral votes.
That's exactly right.
That's Whit Ayers, GOP pollster, president of the North Star Opinion Research Firm. Thank you so much, Whit.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
And by the way, we're reminded that when the Cubs were down 3-1 in the World Series, they were given the same chance of winning as Donald Trump. So Hillary Clinton's 70% meant there was still 30% for Donald Trump.